Great. Well, good morning. I think what I'm going to share reinforces what we've already heard, and that's not a bad thing. But I tell you what, I was smiling with the very first song that we sang, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. And that's been around a while, that song. And it was, and whenever I hear that song, I'm reminded of, it was 1997, it's 20 years ago. I was only little. I don't know why people laugh when I say things like that. But I was on a team, and we were in Poland, and we were helping with a church planting initiative in Poland, and we were doing this outdoor event, and the team went and to sort of scout the area out, and it was in a little wooded area just on the edge of the town that we were at, a place called Sztum in northern Poland. And so we went there, and it was great. It was like an amphitheater. And there was seating all around. There was a big open space. There was a stage area. It was all outside. And as a group, there was six or seven of us on this team. And we just went and stood. There was one or two people just in the park area because we were going to be doing this event the next day. And we just started praying and we started singing this song. Lord, I lift your name on high. I tell you what, there was something of the presence of God there. And when we get a sense of that, in what God has done, and you know that he came down from heaven to earth to show the way, you know, and to be able to declare that like that with very few people there. And then we did it again with a bit more, and then we had, I think there was a band there and all sorts of things the next day. But just wow, 20 years ago, Paul, you were there, Rach, were there at that. Do you remember that? Yeah, it was a great moment. It was a great moment. And there are great moments, aren't they? We look back. I look back 10 years. That was 20 years. 10 years, 2007. Myself and Anne-Marie and our family went to help. And again, it was a church planting project to Denton in Texas with a friend of ours called Dwayne White. Some of you will know, and as he's been here a number of times. And that's 10 years ago. And next weekend, myself and Anne-Marie and Steph and Tim are going to celebrate a 10-year anniversary. So we're going to be in Denton, Texas next week, and we're going to have a ball. But no, we're going to have a gala. There's going to be a big gala event. It's black tie job. I've got to get dressed up. So how exciting is that? No doubt Facebook will be ringing with this stuff, not necessarily posted by me. And then the following weekend, Easter weekend, we're going to be up in Oklahoma City with Lawrence Neeson. Some of you will know Lawrence or know of him from the One event. Of course, Joe was based there for a time over in the States in Oklahoma, so we're going to be there. So would you pray for us over the next couple of weeks, and we'll pray for you back here because God is all over the earth doing his stuff. Yeah? Great. Okay, well, this morning, I think what I want to share taps into some things that have already been coming across. And how many of you know Lent is tough? Or can be? I mean, who likes fasting? One or two people like it. So we're in this season, aren't we, that's called Lent. Starts on the Wednesday immediately following Shrove Tuesday, Pancake Day. And so it's Ash Wednesday, and we start then. And then it's 40 days, take out the Sundays, and it finishes on Easter Saturday. And so there's this 40-day period that throughout the time of the church, in various ways, that has been, I know they said celebrated or marked, and people take time to fast and pray and consider where they're at and what's happening in their lives in the future. And the Anglo-Saxon word, apparently, is Lenten, which is linked with the word spring. So there's a sense of actually a changing of seasons as well. And sometimes in that changing of seasons, there's sometimes a little bit of uncertainty. We'll come on to that in a few minutes. Sometimes Lent, can be a bit hard work. When you're taking time out of routines and you're doing things a little bit differently and just wanting to hear from God. How many of you find sometimes when you want to hear from God, it can sometimes, you know, it's not an easy journey? Or is it just me? Sometimes it's just not always, thus saith the Lord, writing on the wall. It's not always like that, is it? And today, across the Christian church and in this nation, around the nation, people will be doing all sorts of things. And some of them will be actually taking time out to do acts of kindness. And so there are projects like 40 Acts of Kindness and taking opportunity to go and bless people and help people and encourage people specifically in this Lent period. And sometimes people do things in Lent with the best intentions and it all goes horribly wrong. I saw this on Twitter the other day. It will appeal to some of your sense of humour. It didn't appear to mine. Sarah, just put that next screen up. Anyway, take that screen off. I knew some of you would like that. But Lent is often a season, you know, of reflecting on things, isn't it? And sorry about that. But also, as I said earlier, it's sometimes a moment for marking a change of seasons. And sometimes we come to the end of a season in our life, and it's like, ooh, what now? What now? What happens next? And it's like sometimes it can be a little bit murky and misty, and it's not clear, and you're not exactly sure where things are going. And yet, God, over and over again, through his word, encourages us, you know, we've got it on screen, Psalm 32. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I'll counsel you and watch over you. That's the promise of God's word. We want to claim that. We want to lay hold of that. We want to walk in that. And yet sometimes it's not always clear, is it? But God, the most powerful being in the universe, is looking out for you and he's looking out for me. He wants an input in the decisions in my life, the things I do, the key moments of life. He wants an input in your life. The Bible says he's like a shepherd who looks after his sheep. You know, I think it was Hugh who quoted Jeremiah 29, one that was often quoted, actually, quoted it recently. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God has a fantastic plan for your life. Well, thank all three of you. Jesus said, and I think Hugh did quote this a couple of weeks ago, you know, he said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full, or abundant life. And yet we all go through tough times. I come around every one of you and you'll be able to cite a time when it was really tough and it wasn't clear what was happening. And that is not uncommon when you look through Scripture. And it's interesting when you look at, you know, we think about Lent and this 40-day period, and look at Scripture, and look at examples through Scripture from the Old to the New Testament with 40 in it, and quite often there's a toughness to it. So, for example, and I'll just quickly go through these, Genesis chapter 7, 40 days, 40 nights, rain, judgment of God, tough stuff, the great flood that Noah and his family are saved from. But in the toughness, the promises of God are there. You know, that are reflected if you read in Joel and if you read through the Apostle Paul in Romans 10, who says that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is an answer to the tough stuff. Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai with God, seeking God's guidance. Time to get close to God, asking him to speak to him and the nation. And God gives him these 10 commandments. And he goes down the mountain where this is the word of the Lord. And yet the nation's in chaos. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's tough. 12 spies go to check out a promised land. How long did they go for? 40 days. Came back with some good stories, but came back with some tough stories because there were giants in the land as well. There was stuff that was really going to be a problem to them. And, you know, sometimes there are choices that we have to make, even in when there's tough stuff going on, that we really need God's help for, God's choices that will change and transform everything. As a result of the choice they made, the children of Israel spent 40 years wandering in a wilderness. A whole generation gets wiped out. It's tough stuff. but yet with a heart to do things God's way, there were people of that generation, only a couple, and the younger ones, who stepped into the promise of God. And if we're willing to do things God's ways, even when everything's kicking off around us, can transform the outcomes. Elijah spent 40 days, 40 nights walking to Mount Horeb. He just battled with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, got a great victory, but felt he was on his own. Got depressed. He was ready to end it all. Said, God, take me. But God says to him, no, get up and go again. And maybe somebody needs, in a serious season of toughness, and God wants to say to you again, get up, get up. And I think there's some things that we'll highlight in a minute that will help us in that. You know, this 40-day period of Lent is often reflected on the 40 days of that Jesus was in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. Tough stuff, tough stuff. And yet, he journeyed through that in an incredible way, and that's what we're going to look at in a moment. But, and there's one other potential that's not defined in Scripture, but traditional belief was that Jesus laid in the tomb for 40 hours. That was tough stuff for his followers. They had this incredible hope in him, but tough stuff. And maybe you're in a dark place and difficult situation. You know, and these guys had seen the one that they pinned their hope in, killed on a cross and now buried in a tomb. It's tough. But as the old preacher once said, when he preached his Good Friday sermon, it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. There's hope at the end of this. And if you're going through tough stuff, there's hope at the end of this if you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. So how do we cope in this season of toughness? Oh, it's all a bit heavy this morning, David. Okay, well, hang on to your hats. Got your Bibles? Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And starting to read at verse 1. And it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. That always makes me smile. I mean, just the fact that the Bible had to say, at the end of 40 days of not eating and drinking, he was hungry. Anyway, that's just my sense of humor. The devil said to him, you are the Son of God. Tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. The devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answers, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Whoa. Often that is the background, I guess, to this period of Lent that we think about. And I found it fascinating, you know, that even Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, was willing and allowed himself to be led. Led by the Spirit into this wilderness experience. Have you ever found yourself in a position where you believe God has led you, and yet you've also got this thought, what on earth am I doing here, and what on earth is going on? because it's really tough. When the way ahead is not fully clear, or you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, or even being tempted by the devil himself. And here in this account, Jesus showed there's a way through. First of all, it says, verse 1 of chapter 4, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say full. Full of the Holy Spirit. He left the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You know, if you go to the previous chapter, chapter 3, you have the account of Jesus being baptized in the Jordan. It says there in verse 21, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. Hallelujah. Technology is a wonderful thing, if you can control it. Okay. So Jesus was baptized too, and as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love, with whom you are well pleased." So you get this incredible image, the Spirit of God descending on Jesus. Across this room this morning, how many of us know that we also are sons and daughters of the living God? We've been bought with a price, brought into the family. God has shown us a way, Paul says, to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. We're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. You know, when God looks at you and me, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. Wow. Not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done. And the Father looks at you, and he looks at me, and he says, just as Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, I want you to be full of the Holy Spirit too. If we're going to go through tough stuff, we're going to need the Holy Spirit. And none of us is exempt from tough stuff. And the provision is there. Here's the great thing. And then it says, at the end of verse 1 there, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit. He's not only full of the Holy Spirit, but he was led by the Spirit. Sometimes God does lead us into and through a difficult season. I wonder if the writer of the well-known Welsh hymn, whether he was reflecting on this when he penned the words, and it was a guy called William Williams. The only place you can be called William Williams is Wales, isn't it? I mean, and he wrote this hymn in Welsh originally in 1745. Got translated into English 26 years later. And you'll all know it. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this what? Barren land. Yeah, but Lord, would you guide me? Would you guide me? Is that your heart? Is that your cry? Lord, would you guide me? I tell you what, it's an interesting verse that Paul writes when he writes to the Roman church in chapter 8, and verse 14. He says this, he says, all who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Which begs the question, if you're not led by the Spirit, who are you? That's just my thinking. I'll not build a big, deep theology on that, but I just chuck it out there. Huh? Are you and I led by the Spirit? Are we children of God? And we acknowledge, don't we, that God leads, and we read and we recite the Psalm 23, you know, that he leads us beside still waters. What a great picture that is. Of refreshing, of encouragement, where he restores my soul. And yet, sometimes we find ourselves led into challenging situations and places. Or even facing temptation. Do you know it is not wrong to be tempted? Some of you are not sure. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4. Jesus was tempted in all points as we are. How many believe Jesus was wrong? It's not wrong to be tempted. Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet was without sin. It's how we respond to temptation always that is so key and critical. Being tempted is not the issue. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, responds with what? With the word. What has God said? And this is where the word of God is so key for us. Being full of the Holy Spirit, being people of the Spirit, but also people of the word. There's that balance of the two. Being full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, declaring God's word is a powerful thing. John writes the words of Jesus in John 16, and Jesus is saying this. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all truth. He will lead you into truth. John 17, that high priestly prayer of Jesus says what? He says, sanctify them or set them apart by your word, Lord. Your word is truth. If you don't know what the truth is, get in the word of God. And let the Spirit of God lead you in it. It's a wonderful balance and it's a wonderful thing. And when the Spirit and the word comes together and we declare it and we walk in it and we're led by it, it's a powerful thing. It changes everything. So Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. Third and final thing, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. What he was praying for people for earlier was to be empowered to deal with stuff. After 40 days, Jesus comes through that time of testing stronger than ever. Verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And as a result, news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. Jesus stepped into a new season. Anybody here ready to step into a new season? There's one or two. Yeah. Or maybe you've come to the end of a season and you're not quite sure what's going on. There's some new seasons coming. News about him spread. Why was that? Because he continued to be full of the Holy Spirit, continued to be led by this Holy Spirit. And in the power of the Spirit, he journeyed into what the Father had for him. And he began to impact people by his teaching and subsequently with the miracles that he performed. How many of you would like to impact some more people for Jesus? Yeah. And this was the beginning of a new season in Jesus' ministry, or probably the beginning of his ministry in real terms. Again, if you've got your Bible still open, Luke 4, verse 15. It says he was teaching in their synagogues and everyone praised him. Wow. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, the recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Wow, what a moment. Just come out of that wilderness experience and now walks into the destiny that is before him. You might be going through tough stuff right now, but I tell you what, there's a destiny over your life that if you will keep holding on to God and allow the Spirit of God to refresh you and encourage you and build you and strengthen you and lead you this morning and empower you afresh, then who knows? By the end of today, you could have stepped into your new season. There was a recognition on Jesus that began to come that this was the appointed one of the Father, the anointed one of the Father for such a time as this. And I love that scripture after Jesus' resurrection, a little while later, where he appears to his disciples. And John records it in John 20, verse 21, 22. And he says this. He says, as the Father sent me, so now I'm sending you. Wow. Holy Spirit, filled, led, and empowered. That is what is available to each one of us in this room. He's still saying it today. And it says, and with that, after he declared that over his followers, it says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I don't know what your circumstances are today, what you're facing, what you're dealing with. You might be in a good place. You might be beside the still waters and everything might be wonderful. Or you may be in a tough season that's challenging. There's uncertainty ahead. But I believe it. In all of those scenarios, God wants you and I to be filled, to be led, and to be empowered by his Spirit. Because I believe we've all got a role and responsibility to play. You know, Graham was talking about his role, his new job role. You know, and it might not sound a wonderful thing, Graham. The comment you made about cleaning those dishes. You know, the big thing is, if you don't get that job right, that restaurant goes down. Health and safety will shut it down. Environmental health will shut it down. You're a key part. And every one of us here is a key part of the mission of Jesus to this world, to be the display of his splendor. And the Spirit of God is here for you. To anoint you so that you can proclaim the good news, so that you can proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind. Who would like to see a few more miracles? Set the oppressed free. People who've lived with some torment in their lives seem broken in Jesus' name, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Perhaps the musicians will come back. So if you find yourself in a tough season right now, I want you to do what David did in the Old Testament. He was in a tough season when this was recorded. The Authorized Version says he encouraged himself in the Lord. What has God said? What has God spoken over your life? What does the written word say about you and I as people of God, as children of his? God has promised. Here's one. If you can't think of any, I'll give you a couple. God has promised for his children that they will not be overtaken by temptation. Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Again, Paul says to the church in Philippi, after they'd responded to his personal needs, and he responds back to them with thanks, and he says, you know, my God's going to meet all your needs according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. This is the provision of God. And again, he writes to the church in Rome that all things, you just say all things work together for good to those who love and serve him faithfully, even in the tough stuff. God is faithful. My message to you this morning, if you're in the middle of a Lent-like season, a tough time, maybe in between seasons, my message to you is do not lose heart. God has a plan. God will provide. And God will be your refuge. And if you are ready, he will fill you afresh with his Spirit. He'll lead you by his Spirit, and he will empower you by his Spirit. Why don't we stand? I'm going to pray. Hugh's already encouraged, you know, earlier on about this whole thing empowering, and I don't think you can get enough empowering. And he said, why don't you put your hands out? I'm going to say the same again. You know, and maybe you're in a good season, and that's great. God still wants to empower you. But maybe you are in a tough season or an uncertain season. Lord, would you come? Spirit of God, would you fill us afresh? Lord, would you grant leading in our lives where we need it? And may we know the empowering of your Spirit like never before for the season that lies ahead. Lord, we come to you in our human frailty with all our quirks and our idiosyncrasies. And we say, God, would you come in your grace and in your mercy by your Spirit right here, right now. Fill us afresh, each one across this room. God of heaven, come. Breathe afresh, breathe anew. Jesus. Jesus. Just in your own thoughts and in your own prayers, why don't you just ask him to fill you afresh right here, right now. Jesus. God, come. I pray, Lord, across this room that people will be renewed in spirit afresh today in Jesus' name. Jesus, 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 Jesus. God of heaven. Lord, and I pray for those who are looking today for a little bit of leading and guiding. Lord, I thank you for the incredible providence of your word that's available to each one of us. Where you say, I do have plans. I do have a way forward. I do have steps for you. And they're good. Because as we sang earlier, he's a good, good father. And we are loved by him. That's who we are. And God has this incredible love and wants you to journey in that love and that provision and that guiding today. And I pray, Lord, over the coming days and weeks, that people will be conscious more and more of the leading of your Spirit. Lord, I believe you're going to take people into new seasons. Where there's been a sense of uncertainty for the future, I believe new doors are going to open, new opportunities are going to come. Lord, there's going to be opportunities that you are going to open up that were never, ever on our radar. Lord, and I pray for the wisdom to go with that, to journey that well with you. And Lord, to do that, we ask for the empowering of your Holy Spirit. I pray for a new power, a new level of the power of your Spirit, Lord. Lord, that as was with the case with Jesus, news of him spread around. Lord, actually, we want news of you spread around because of who we are. We're not fussed about news of us, but we are fussed about news of you. Lord, and we pray that in what we do in the season to come, it will be voiced abroad. People will be talking about it because you are at work empowering your church to do all sorts of stuff that will be the talk of the town and the area. We ask these things in your name. Lord, would your empowering come in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirit of God. Well, how many are believing that some of the stuff we've been thinking about this morning is true and it applies to you? Got some people believing that today?
Yes.
Well, I'm looking forward to the stories of what God is going to do through our lives as we are filled and led and empowered by his Spirit.